Live from the heart of Old Town, community radio for the London Borough of Croydon. This is Croydon Radio.
This is Croydon Radio, and you are listening to The Saturday Show with me, Tom C. I'm here with Greg, our film expert. He was here all afternoon, and we're very happy to be joined right now in the studio by Kevin Morris, who is a local poet, and he's here to talk to us about his influences when it comes to poetry, and he's going to be talking to us about his new collection of books, which is called Lost in the Labyrinth of My Mind. Kevin, it's lovely to have you on the show today. How are you this afternoon?
Thank you very much for inviting me, Tom. I am very well, thank you.
Good. Now, Kevin, I've got you were very kind enough to bring a copy of your book down with you, so thank you very much for that. Just having a little look at it right now. Tell us a little bit about, I suppose, to start off with, how did you get into poetry to begin with?
I've always loved poetry from when I was a child, and I remember in the school library being a blind, sitting there and leafing through Palgrave's Golden Treasury and the old version of the Oxford Book of English Verse, the Helena Gardner version. So I suppose from when I was a very young child, I loved poetry, and that sort of love stayed with me. However, it was only in about 2011, 2012, I began to write poetry seriously, which I published on my blog, newauthoronline.com, and subsequently I produced my first collection, Dalliance, followed by this present collection, Lost in the Labyrinth of My Mind.
Now, I'm just reading, I like the back of your, the back of Lost in the Labyrinth of My Mind. It's got a little sort of autobiography kind of thing here, saying how you were born in Liverpool the same year of the moon landings, and that some people believe that the moon landings never took place. Are you one such conspiracy theorist?
I think conspiracy theories are very interesting, but no, I think it's 99 times out of 100, it's a cock-up rather than a conspiracy.
That is fair enough. Yeah. I actually do take the same view on that one. So, do you remember the first kind of poem that you seriously wrote? I mean, I guess, you know, everyone at school kind of, you know, did poetry and stuff, but do you remember the first time that you really sat down and properly thought, I'm going to put some effort into this?
I remember as a child writing a poem that started slithering through the wet grass comes the snake. I can't remember any more of that particular poem, probably with a good reason, but I think it was all about teaching we children about sibilance.
And, I suppose you've kind of moved on from that point.
Yes.
As I was saying to you kind of before the interview, what I think would be great for the listeners is to give them a bit of a taste of your poetry. And you've been kind enough to say that you'd be very happy to read some of your poetry out for us on air this afternoon. So what's the first poem that you're going to read for us today?
I'd like to read my poem, Raining. This stemmed from me waking up one morning and hearing the rain pattering on my window. I awoke to the rain drumming on my window pane. Opening my lattice, I let it in, the purifying water that washes away sin. The hypnotic sound of rain falling all around. All my life I have listened to the rain, the same drumming of water coming from the sky, falling on you and I. The rain has no end, but you and I, my friend, may listen for a while, smile, then pass on by.
Now you paint very vivid pictures there of the rain, and you were saying that particular poem came from an influence of you know, something that happened to you. It was raining when you woke up. Where do you usually get your influences from to write poetry?
I think a lot of them come from the local area in which I live. I live on Beulah Hill, close to the Lawns Park, which some of your listeners may know is a historic park that used to be a pleasure garden in the 19th century. So I hear the owl hooting, for example, the fox barking, that influences my writing. Also, world events and current affairs come into the equation.
So give us an example of a world event or current affairs that has influenced your poetry.
Well, there's one poem in there called Under the Stars, which is about the experience of ladies engaged in the world elders profession and their clients. And the basic point of the poem is that neither of the participants in the transaction ends up happy. It's not a judgmental poem. It's more a commentary on the sadness that can flow from the world elders profession. Mm. Without making a moral judgment.
What would you say the tone of your poetry is? I mean, do you generally tend to go for upbeat or is it generally quite how would you describe it? Or does it really depend on kind of your mood at the time of writing?
I think it largely depends on my mood at the time of writing, although undoubtedly quite a bit of my poetry has a melancholic tinge to it, although there are humorous poems in my collection, Lost in the Labyrinth.
Now, let's talk about the title. It's a really sort of kind of sticks in your mind, Lost in the Labyrinth of My Mind. Where did you come up with that title? What does it mean to you?
I think I'm a very introspective person, and I do literally sometimes become lost in my own thoughts, hence the title. If I may, I'd like to read one of the poems from which the title actually derives from the poem Lost.
Please do, yes.
Lost. My thoughts lost on the damp air, going who knows where. The sodden grass I pass where children play, but not today. No ball or bird call, only the rain's incessant fall. And that poem stemmed from me walking past a block of flat near to my local station, where I've often seen children playing ball games and the sun's been shining. But on that particular day, I was in quite a, I suppose, melancholic mood, for want of a better word, and the rain and the absence of the children brought that poem to mind. So when I got to my computer, I had to write it down.
And I'm just reading here on the back of the labyrinth, the Lost in the Labyrinth of My Mind. You say it was your grandfather that derived that kind of really influenced your love of literature. Tell us a bit about him and your memories of him.
He was a wonderful man. I still look back with tremendous affection to him. In fact, there's one poem in there called War, which is specifically dedicated to him. I lived with my grandfather for a period, and I've happy memories of going to W.H. Smith's, and he'd often buy me a book, Enid Blyton, sticks in my mind, and we'd go home and he'd read the book in one or two days of very happy memories of that, and also having meals in our British home stores. We often had a roast dinner at the weekend in British home stores.
You can't beat a good BHS meal. No. I've had a few of those in my time. Just reading here, very interestingly. So you said you're originally from Liverpool.
Yes.
And you attained your BA in history and politics.
Yes.
Now, do you think that has influenced your poetry? Do you have a particular time period that you're most drawn to?
I haven't thought of it in that way. There are certainly a number of 19th century poets. I derive a lot of pleasure from Ernest Christopher Dowson and Edward Houseman. But I suppose a lot of my poetry is traditional in that it tends to rhyme, not all of it. So a lot of it, I suppose, is sort of influenced by the 19th century poets or the 18th century poets.
And then it goes on to say that you then studied political theory as well. Yes. So clearly someone who's very switched on kind of when it comes to politics and that type of thing. Does the current state of British politics fill you with happiness or melancholy?
In my working life, I work for the civil service, so I shall refrain from commenting on yes. on the politics.
Fair enough. Okay, Kevin. So let's talk a bit more about poetry itself. Do you have a particular place where you kind of go and you work? I know from interviewing a few authors who've been on the show in the past, they sometimes have a special room where they go to write or something like that. Is it the same with you, or can inspiration strike you anywhere?
My spare room in my flat is all doubles as a study, and I quite often sit at my desk just tapping away on the keyboard, or sometimes staring into space until inspiration strikes or doesn't, as the case may be.
Now, you have mentioned that you are blind.
Yes.
Now, how do you think that's affected has that been an inspiration or an influence, do you think, in your poetry at all?
I think that to some extent, undoubtedly, I tend to perhaps pick up more on scents and sounds, such as bird song or the hooty of an owl or the sharp, cold bark of a fox, which I think is quite redolent of death, as is the hooty of the owl. It was the owl that hooted in Macbeth, the fatal bellman, and all that. Things like that do strike a chord with me.
Do you have a favourite poem from this particular collection?
I think Raining is certainly one of my favourites, as is Lost. And if I may, I think one of my other favourite poems is Leaves Blown at Night.
Yes, no, if you're... Yes, please let our listeners hear.
Leaves blown at night, delight, sorrow, this moment we borrow and think of a tomorrow that may never come. We run, perchance have fun, then 'tis done. And that stemmed from a walk in Liverpool with my guide dog, Trigger, who's here today. And I was walking along in December and the leaves were blowing, and it made me think of the brevity of life and how, in a way, we're all leaves blown at night. We're here for a while, then we're blown away.
Now, you're not just a poet. At the back of the Lost in the Labyrinth of My Mind book, we've got various other publications that you've also kind of written. So not only are you a poet, you're also a writer as well, and you've written various stories. So how do you have a general theme when it comes to story writing? Or again, is it like your poetry? Is it just based on kind of things that have happened to you and influences?
I think a lot of my short stories have been based on unexpected happenings or tales with a twist in them. I mean, one of my books is collections of short stories is called The Suspect, and other tales, and many of the stories in that collection are just that. They're a bit like the old television programme Tales of the Unexpected.
Ah, yes, I used to love that. One of those Roald Dahl, kind of, you think the story is going to end one way,
yeah,
and then something quite... It must be quite difficult, though, to come up with a twist every time.
It is, and not all of the stories do have a twist, but many of the stories in the collection do have a twist, and I actually like to inject humour where it's possible. I think a bit of dark humour adds to the story.
Now, I also noticed here that one of the publications that you got is called More Than Best Friends, which is an anthology in support of guide dogs for the
yes.
blind. What kind of sort of made you decide to write that particular anthology?
Well, the Guide Dog Association have been extremely helpful to me. I'm now working with my fourth guide dog, Trigger, and they get absolutely no government funding. They're purely reliant on the generosity and kindness of members of the public through legacies and donations, etc., and the voluntary activities of the wonderful puppy walkers. So, albeit in a small way, I and some fellow authors wanted to get together to raise money for a very good cause, hence the anthology.
Yeah, that certainly does sound like an extremely good cause. So if we've got listeners out there who want to check out your poetry and they want to find out more about yourself, where would you like them to go? Where's the best place for them to find you online?
I'm at newauthoronline.com. That's my personal website. And also, people who are particularly interested in Lost can go to Moyhill, which is moyhill.com/lost, which is the my webpage on the Moyhill site where you can purchase the print copy of Lost. It will also provide a link to the ebook version of Lost, which is available via Amazon.
So listeners can either buy the book online or they can buy the physical copy as well.
Yes, that's correct.
Do you have a preference when it comes to, do you like the kind of the digital, the way that we've moved more towards digital books, or do you still prefer a nice physical copy of something?
I think from the point of view of blind people, it's wonderful that there are digital alternatives, because in the old days, something like the New Oxford Book of English Verse would be 10 thick braille volumes, and it's wonderful to sit down and leaf through a physical hard copy, but it takes up so much book space, and ebooks are so accessible to blind people, provided they have the text-to-speech enabled, which most of the Kindle titles do, and then most iBooks are accessible using VoiceOver via Apple devices, so that's great. But I do love hard copy books, and I'd hate to see them die out. And as an author, it's wonderful to be able to get out a physical copy of my book and show it to people. I don't think it's the same bringing up a book on a Kindle or another device and showing it to people, but it's a very personal thing. And I also do know a number of younger people in their 20s, etc., who still love print books. So I don't think that I don't think the print book is in danger of dying out as I see it.
I agree. There is something very nice about having a book to hold while sitting down and having a nice cup of tea with a book.
Yes.
Now, Kevin, you as I say, the current kind of publication, Lost in the Labyrinth of My Mind, is available right now. Let's look forward briefly. What's on the horizon? Are you busy working away at another volume? Are we going more poetry? Are we getting more prose? What's kind of up next for you?
I'm writing poetry on an ongoing basis. I generally write one or two poems a week, not all of which will find their way into book form, but I do tend to publish a number of my poems on the blog, many of which will subsequently be revised before they're included in a future anthology. So if people want to check out my ongoing work, they can certainly go to my site where they can follow my progress.
Brilliant. Now, just before we say goodbye this afternoon, do you have any sort of anything you'd like to say to the listeners out there? Maybe anyone who's listening who has previously bought one of your works or is a fan?
I'm extremely grateful to all my readers. I really do value hearing from you, so please do feel free to contact me by my website. That my email address is there. And if you do read the book, please, if you have the time, it'd be really appreciated if you could leave a review, because often people will enjoy a book and they don't leave a review. I understand people are extremely busy, but if you do have the time, it's wonderful if you could consider leaving a review.
Well, Kevin, it was lovely to have you on the show this afternoon. Thank you so much for coming down to join us. I wish you all the best of luck with Lost in the Labyrinth of My Mind, which is available right now, and for future publications as well. Don't forget, anyone who's listening who wants to find out more about Kevin's work, you can go to his website, newauthoronline.com. That's all one word. You can follow him on Twitter as well. DrewDog2060_. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you an avid tweeter?
I tend to tweet occasionally. All my blog posts are tweeted, and I do occasionally tweet other items.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, Kevin, thanks once again, and hopefully we will chat to you again very, very soon.
Many thanks for inviting me.